Today's podcast is brought to you by the Gen 40 Heater. Reduce your heating bills today and save $50 with code word HOWIEDEAL. To order, go to EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Busy day today. Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland is facing questions on a variety of things, including how he plans to address the federal probe into Hunter Biden's tax dealings and Governor Andrew Cuomo's nursing home scandal. I think we kind of know how he's going to address those probes.
By not addressing them at all?
Yeah, could I get crickets, please, Jared? That's I don't usually go into Howie's sound, but it just seems fitting. But fear not, he's going to investigate the Capitol riots even more than they've already been investigated. So that's good. I do want to play a little bit of sound here before I get into my Fauci montage of disaster, you know, comments that he's made over the weekend. But first, let's do a little bit of Merrick Garland. This is cut 17. Very interesting.
If confirmed, would you commit to publicly releasing Special Counsel Durham's report just like Mueller's report was made public?
So, Senator, I am a great believer in transparency. I would, though, have to talk with Mr. Durham and understand the nature of what he's been doing and the nature of the report. But I am very much committed to transparency and to explaining Justice Department decision making.
Let me break that down for you. That was no. That's going to be a no from him. He cannot commit to it. There's going to be a lot of those kind of cuts now that they're in power and they don't want to answer any questions. And nor have they been trained to answer any questions. These people don't know what it's like to be held accountable. They expect, and here's a trend I've been noticing lately, whether it's Kamala Harris, I talked a little bit about this last week with Eddie Scarry from the Washington Examiner, but when it's Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or Jen Psaki, they do this thing where they get asked a question. And the example is the cut that we keep playing from Kamala Harris. But before that, Savannah Guthrie asks her a question and she says, they always have to say something like, well, you know, Savannah, or I don't have to tell you, Savannah, or you know me, Savannah. They keep reminding us of how close they are with these media reporters and anchors and hacks. And then Jen Psaki will say, well, I've been, you know, in this town for, I've been in this town for like 10 or 20 years. I mean, you guys, Caitlin Collins from CNN, you know me. You've known me for years. They're rubbing it in that they can't believe that their friends are asking them these questions. Like, that's what's to make us all feel better. They won't give yes or no answers, but they'll tell Chuck Todd or Jake Tapper or Caitlin Collins that, you know me. We've known each other. Come on. Come on, man. It's a little updated version of Come On, Man. But I don't want to spend too long on that. I will play, I think we have one more Merrick Garland cut, Jared. Am I wrong? I thought we had one more from today. Maybe not, though. But we'll keep you posted on that. And really what I want to talk about now is Dr. Fauci. And I want to get your guys' thoughts. He's now saying that he doesn't think we'll be able to take our masks off, unmask ourselves, until 2022. And if you think that sounds absurd, it is because it is absurd. I mean,
how about new? You crazy.
That's exactly what I want. We should. What does he say? You crazy what? I mean, that we can keep that in too because it works. I mean, 2022. And here's something I've been noticing. So the article reads, Dr. Fauci says it's possible Americans will need to wear masks in 2022, even as the U.S. may reach a significant degree of normality by year's end. And I went to CNN for the real column, and it says, As we get into the fall and winter by the end of the year, I agree with President Joe Biden completely that we will be approaching a degree of normality, said Fauci. Mask wearing is critical to slowing the spread of the virus. They go on to explain that. I've been asking my friends about this. I send them the article and just to get a general feel, because a lot of my friends, they're not extremely conservative or extremely liberal. They're kind of in the center. And people keep saying to me, well, he doesn't know. Nobody knows. And a few months ago, I took that answer when people would say, oh, well, he doesn't really know. I mean, who knows? Nobody knows. So, you know, it's unknown. Now I will not accept that answer. You know why? Because we do know. We have a vaccine. That is a known thing. That is a medical marvel. I'm so sick of this, like, it's out of our control. We have no explanation. Who knows what will happen? Shoulder shrug. I know what will happen. We have a vaccine. It will end. That's what will happen. This idea that we're going to be living like this for years to come is insanity. And people need to stop normalizing that. Being like, yeah, well, you know, just don't get your hopes up too much. You know, things are looking better, but expect to be wearing a mask till you're in your 80s. Once again, Jared, how about no? I will not get used to that. How about you?
How about no?
And it gets worse because people like NBC News, they go, you're fully vaccinated against the coronavirus. Now what? Don't expect to shed your mask and get back to normal activities right away. That's going to be a disappointment, if not a shock, to many people. It's unacceptable. That's what it is. It's not a disappointment, Charlie Baker. It's not a shock to me that you guys are trying to pull this. It's unacceptable. You guys told us 15 days to flatten the curve. And then you told us longer. And then you told us we need a vaccine. And then you told us everyone needs to be vaccinated. And now you're telling us when everyone's vaccinated, we're still going to be living like this. Listen to this column from the Washington Examiner. Vaccination must be seen as the end point of pandemic restrictions. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but I love this piece. The coronavirus lockdown is quickly approaching its anniversary, and there is still no end in sight. That, if you're reading this, that's true. We're coming up on 1 year. Talk about the worst anniversary, you know, gift they could give us is like, oh, we don't know when it's going to end. This is in large part because our moral betters keep pushing the end zone farther and farther back. And that means the last remaining excuse to delay the resumption of normal activity is evaporating. They know that the vaccine means the end of this. Not if our health experts have anything to say about it. Dr. Anthony Fauci, one of the nation's leading health experts, warned the public last month that unless 85 to 90% of the population is vaccinated, herd immunity will be impossible and the coronavirus will still be a threat. And President Biden predicted this week that a return to normal might not happen until Christmas. Biden is trying to set the bar low so that people don't get their hopes up, but there's no reason for this. As we wrote before, there is now a permanent solution to the coronavirus pandemic. The modern medical miracle of a highly effective vaccine developed within a year. Shifting the goalposts like this will only de-incentivize on-the-fence people from getting the vaccine. Why should they seek it out when they'll still have to act as if they're deep into the pandemic anyway? If health officials were serious about vaccinating 90% of the population, they'd make the public a promise. Get the vaccine and coronavirus restrictions will no longer apply to you. Instead, health officials are keeping the public in a constant state of coronavirus anxiety. We cannot help but wonder why. No one ever lived risk-free before COVID-19, and no one ever will. Our political class no longer deserves the benefit of the doubt. Enough is enough. There is no longer a curve to flatten. The spread of the virus is already much slower than it was in the early days of the pandemic. And now we have a vaccine that will protect the most vulnerable within a few months. People are ready to leave this pandemic behind them, and government officials can no longer stand in their way. I wholeheartedly agree with this. I'm sick of this constant, we'll see, we don't know, don't get your hopes up. it might be better, but it might not. We do know. We have a definite answer. It's called a vaccine. And I don't know how they plan on getting people to take it if they keep saying we're going to keep living in this misery forever. I see you guys on the phone lines. We will get to you after the break. I promise. I give you my word as a curly. I will get to your calls. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? Not me. And I'm going to tell you why. With my friends at Aviva Trattoria, we'll be giving away a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. We have a winner coming in this Friday. We have Aviva coming in. Jared, have you put down your request yet?
Not yet. I'm just back in the office today, but I will get on the menu as soon as possible.
That's very important, Jared. That's very important.
You'll note I was not off the Friday they came in. I'm just saying.
We're all kind of reworking our vacation days around Aviva Trattoria. But guys, all you have to do to enter to win a free lunch is go to gracecurlyshow.com, put in your email. That's gracecurlyshow.com. And Anthony and Marcy, they come by, they bring pizza, they bring salads, they bring arancini, they bring chicken parm, they bring cheese boards. It's all incredibly delicious. And whatever they bring, it's always awesome. From seafood to their homemade pasta, Aviva has something for everyone. They also have four convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford. Takeout is available too. To enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's gracecurlyshow.com. And I also wanted to remind you guys, they have a lot of specials. So I just wanted to tell you, if you're thinking about going tonight, they have a BOGO pizza deal. Buy one large signature pizza, get a small cheese free. Great deal. Check it out. Aviva Trattoria. And go to gracecurlyshow.com to enter. We'll be back on the other side with your calls, 844-500-4242. I'm Grace, and this is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I am going to do the poll question, but before I do, I see you all waiting on the lines. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Happy Monday, Paul. What's going on?
Hey, happy Monday, Grace.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm done with masks in public. I do not wear a mask. When I go to a store like Walmart or the supermarket, yeah, it's a private place. I'll follow the rules. I respect that. But out in the public, I don't. And I think the funny thing is we've created these mask Nazis out there. You know, these people will come up to me on the street. Where's your mask? Where's your mask? You know, I haven't had anybody videotape me yet with a cell phone. But, it got to the point where I actually hand them a paper with Charlie Baker's mandate on it that says, you know, as long as I can socially distance in public, I don't need a mask.
Yeah, and that's a really polite way of saying, why don't you get out of my face? If you're that concerned, and this boggles my mind because this has happened to my fiance, where someone will be so concerned about him wearing a mask that they get within inches of him to tell him to put on a mask. None of this makes any sense. And like Paul said, I wear one when I go into the supermarket. It has an 100% effective rate when it comes to keeping pains in the butts quiet. A lot of people who are Karens will shut up if you have a mask on. And to me, sometimes that is worth it. But this craziness that they're saying, even if you get vaccinated, you're going to have to wear one. Where is the science? And I want to play you guys an old clip. This is a flashback cut of Fauci talking about the Ebola crisis in 2014. This is cut 5.
I don't want to be directly criticizing what the decision that was made, but we have to be careful that there are unintended consequences. So the idea that we're being a little bit draconian, there are other ways to protect. Go with the science. That's what we're trying to do here in our government.
Go with the science. Fauci, heal thyself. Let's start going with the science.
This- a man and a woman.
The science says that we have found the cure and that we are going to beat this. And that is an awesome thing. Everyone should be happy about that. And instead, every single day I see there's a new strain. There's a new strain coming from South Africa. Don't get too excited about the vaccine. Here's why. No, I will get excited about the vaccine. I will. I will get excited about kids getting to go back to school and see their friends. I will get excited about maybe having a wedding in November. I will get excited about, you know, people getting together and networking and having fun and living their lives. I think that is totally worth getting ahead of my skis over. Because I don't think it's really dependent on what Dr. Fauci tells me anymore. I'm over that. And I saw a lot of people today making the point that Trump's biggest mistake was giving this guy such a platform. And it's Monday morning quarterbacking because they would have freaked out either way. But I just wish he wasn't such a popular figure in all this. There's people who really like him, which that's a whole nother story. Get clinically proven blood pressure support with delicious Superbeats heart chews by visiting getsuperbeats.com/grace. When you buy two bags, they'll throw in a third for free. And these bags, they have a lot of Superbeats in each bag, so you're definitely getting your money's worth. That's getsuperbeats.com/grace, getsuperbeats.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who do you find most annoying to watch on TV? Joe Biden, Andrew Cuomo, Dr. Fauci, Kamala Harris, or Jen Psaki?
No question, Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci tied with Kamala, polling at 20%. 18% for Andrew Cuomo, 14% for Joe Biden, and heading toward the winner's circle.
Very good.
Jen Psaki at 28%.
Wow, Jen Psaki just cruising away with it. Okay, okay. Well, you know what? She had such a bad weekend as far as the press that I'll give her this win. Anthony, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Anthony.
Grace, thank you for the normalcy this weekend. Thank you very much.
Anthony, were you at the Fallins Bee Inn?
I was, Grace. I told you. Thank you for the normalcy. It was great. And with this Dr. Fauci, the fraud there, you know, all you got to ask him is, Doctor, listen, here's the science. Why does every masked state have a higher death rate than every unmasked state? If the masks save lives, like all these dumbbells are holding signs, why is there more deaths in every? There's not one unmasked state that has more deaths than any masked state.
Anthony, that's a great point. And part of it that I really started to drill down on this past week is that not only are the open economies and kind of open states doing just as well as the lockdown states as far as deaths are concerned, but Florida, they keep using Florida as a comparison for deaths. Keep in mind that Florida is pretty much on track with other big states and are highly populated states, and they have so many old people. It is a mecca for the elderly, and they're still doing just as well as these other places. That is an important factor. You're not going to hear it on CNN or ABC or NBC or any of those places, but that isn't, to me, that's a big deal. Anthony, thank you for coming to the Fallins Bee Inn. We had such a great time. I think Anthony's from East Boston. We had a wonderful time, really fun. Thank you to Dennis. If you guys want to check it out, fallinsbeeinn.com. Rick, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Rick.
Grace.
Yes.
Quick question. Is the state of emergency protecting us from the pandemic, or is the pandemic protecting the government under the state of emergency?
There's a million other things that they have on their plates right now, but I agree with you. I think this pandemic kind of gives them, I think they thought it was going to, it was going to give them more of an out. I think they thought that, you know what I think really, really bungled their plan was that they did not expect the Trump administration to be able to, with obviously the medical world, get a vaccine that fast. They did not see Operation Warp Speed being such an incredible success. And so now they're trying to figure out a way to still make this into Biden's win when it's just not going to happen. That's okay. It's okay. You inherited the vaccine, Joe. You got it before you even became president. So let's roll with that. Guys, I'll be back on the other side with more of your calls. 844-500-4242. We got a lot more to get to. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. And I do see you guys on the lines, but I'm very excited because last minute we got a great guest, Dr. Brian Junedeff. He's joining us now. You guys know a lot of his work from The American Thinker. He's on a lot with Howie Carr. Howie and I are both huge fans. We read all of his stuff. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure. Good to be with you.
My first question, I want to let everyone know that his latest piece is titled Unmasking the Medical Experts, and it breaks down kind of all the questions you might have about the double masking, triple masking, the inconsistencies of all that. But my first question for you, Doctor, is do you see this new narrative coming that even if you're fully vaccinated against the coronavirus, we're still going to have to live this alien-like life where we walk around far away from each other with masks on?
It certainly seems that way. Dr. Fauci was interviewed, I think, over the weekend and said things are not likely to change until 2022. So it looks like we're going to be in this for a long haul. Who knows how long? President Biden said Christmas at the earliest. So I don't think anything's changing anytime soon, although there's not good science to back up continuing all the restrictions.
And that's really where my question is, because when I talk to either, you know, my friends who are nurses or people who are in the medical field, a lot of people are very positive about what's happening, about the vaccine, about the cases dropping. I have not heard any of that from the mainstream media.
They're not talking about it. I don't think the media wants it to be over. This is news generating, and it lets the Democrats push their agenda. It gives them excuses for new rules for voting, which they would love to have in place come 2022 for the midterm elections. And it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to drag this along until then. We need mail-in voting. We need this. We need that just to ensure their political viability, if you will.
Right.
And there are a number of governors that like playing dictator and locking people down.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about that, because I know that you've been very outspoken about whether it's Dr. Fauci or any of these political figures. Are you surprised at how quickly Andrew Cuomo seems to be unraveling in front of our eyes?
I'm not surprised. The left is very good about eating their own when it's politically expedient.
Mm.
Why they want to get rid of Cuomo at this point is a bit confusing, because he's a good, loyal Democrat, but they may have other people in mind for governorship and higher office in New York. So if it furthers their narrative, they'll throw anybody under the bus, including Andrew Cuomo.
Now, Doctor, my next question, we talked a little bit there about Cuomo, but there's also stories of media outlets, including NBC News, criticizing Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida because his vaccination plan prioritized seniors and Holocaust survivors. People were saying, oh, he's just, you know, prioritizing them because he wants their votes. But these are the people we should be prioritizing. Are you confused why other governors aren't doing the same thing?
Well, Ron DeSantis is following the science. The elderly are among the most vulnerable, statistically, of getting very sick. If you look at who gets sick and who dies, it's minimal for younger patients. And when they get older, the number increases dramatically. So that's who should be vaccinated first. Here in Colorado, to open up, we have a Democrat governor, but his goal is 70% of 70-year-olds vaccinated, and then restrictions can loosen. So they're prioritizing the elderly, which I think is smart because they are the most vulnerable, rather than some governors that want to give vaccines to prisoners, illegal immigrants, people of color, doing it more for social justice than for science. And if you want to get a handle on this, you have to protect the most vulnerable first. That's the science, not political.
Now, I think one of the most political parts of this is teachers' unions refusing to go back to school. And I want to play for you, Dr. Junedeff, a cut of Jen Psaki talking to Jonathan Karl, where they were asked about if these teachers got the COVID relief that they claim they need, you know, billions of dollars in relief, will they require them to open up? And listen to this response.
Does the president support the idea of making that funding in the American Rescue Plan contingent on schools reopening? So a requirement, you receive funding, you bring students back.
That's not a contingency that we're putting in, that we're recommending to go in the bill or in legislation.
Doctor, am I crazy, or does none of this really seem to be making any sense? So they're going to give the schools all of this money and they're not even going to require them to open?
This is a payoff to the teachers and teachers unions who vote primarily Democrat. We saw this with a stimulus bill, Obama's stimulus that went primarily to Democrat constituencies, kind of as a payback. And it's politics. The money goes to teachers and teachers unions, and through dues, that money gets funneled back to the Democrat Party and Democrat candidates. So they are taking care of their one of their core contingency or constituencies by doing this. It's not about the science. There have been studies that show that kids are not transmitting the virus to either their teachers or their parents or their grandparents. The school should be open. And if you can catch Dr. Fauci in an uncandid or a candid moment where he's not scripted, he'll admit as much, that the kids should be going back to school. We're causing irreparable damage to these kids by keeping them out of school for now going on 2 years.
Yeah, no, and I would agree with you there. I'm talking to Dr. Brian Junedeff. You guys can read his stuff at American Thinker. Doctor, I want to talk a little bit about this piece you have out, Unmasking the Medical Experts. Can you break down for us how we got here? I mean, you do a good job of kind of giving the timeline of what people were saying, including the WHO. At one point, they said, we don't need masks. And now they're saying maybe two masks, maybe three masks. How do you explain this?
Well, it's really political expediency. It's not science, because they followed the science early on. The World Health Organization, the CDC, Dr. Fauci, Surgeon General, they all said masks are not necessary unless for healthcare workers in high-risk conditions or for patients that have COVID. But just for the general public to be wearing masks, they were against it. And then it suddenly changed, and now we're in masks. And the latest is now it's two masks, three, four masks. There was an anesthesiologist in South Carolina, department chairman, who was recommending three or four masks. The logic being, well, if one is good, two might be better, three even better. The more fabric you put in front of your airway, yeah, you might filter things out, but you can't breathe either. And where's the science that's showing that masks have benefit? The Danish mask study showed that there was not a significant benefit. There might be some benefit, but you have to look at the cost, too. You know, you could wear four seatbelts in the car, and that would probably provide some marginal benefit over one seatbelt. But at what cost? Where do you draw the line on this? And they're constantly changing their recommendations. We've not had mask mandates in any of the past flu pandemics of years gone by, SARS, MERS, etc. And these were significant events. Why weren't we required to mask and socially distance then? It seems these are suddenly new concepts applied to COVID, and COVID is a variation of these other viruses. It's not the same thing, but it behaves in similar fashion. The viral particles are about the same size. Most masks, other than a properly fitted N95 mask, provide very little benefit unless somebody sneezes at you. But just day-to-day wearing when you're riding in the car or taking a walk or at the health club, it's an impediment. It makes breathing more challenging, and it dehumanizes people. You can't see people's faces. You can't read their expressions. People can't smile at each other. It's really dehumanizing.
Yeah,
and there's going to be lots of long-term effects from all of this.
I was actually thinking about that the other day, because I noticed that when people have the masks on, they can be really nasty if they think that you're not following the rules. And it gives them like this sense of anonymity where, oh, I have a mask on. It's almost like being behind a computer screen. I can say whatever I want because you can't really see my full face anyway.
Well, and it allows people to virtue signal. They're wearing their masks, so they're better than you. And in some places, you go into a Whole Foods in certain cities and be attacked if you're not wearing a mask.
Yeah, no. And sorry,
people can be very righteous about that.
Dr. Brian Juneff, you're breaking up a little bit, but I have one more question for you. Do you think eventually, when everyone's vaccinated and the rate is at like 0.00000, whatever, does there come a point where Americans just say, okay, we're not doing this anymore? Like where people start walking out in the street and saying, I'm not wearing this anymore. I'm not wearing this into a store. Do you think we're going to reach that point where even if the Charlie Bakers and the Cuomos are still screaming that the sky is falling, that people are going to wake up from this?
I think they will. People have a limited tolerance for this, and you can't have this go on year after year with no end in sight. And it's constantly shifting goalposts. I've been reading recently about herd immunity again and how we're getting close to it. There was a piece in the Wall Street Journal recently about how that we may have herd immunity and this goes away by April. But if you listen to the politicians, Biden, Fauci, Psaki, this is going to go on forever.
Absolutely.
They keep pushing it away. It's Christmas, now it's 2022, and then it's going to be 2023, and we're never going to get rid of this, and this is going to become the new normal. This can't become the new normal. This is it's Orwellian to go around wearing masks and distancing and kids wearing masks, and you have to be able to read people's facial expressions to interact with them. It's children, that's how they learn. They learn speech. They see people speak and how they express themselves. You can't have people cut off from that and expect a normal life in society. It's really dystopian. And the longer it continues, the more harm will be.
And doctor, I was talking about this earlier, and this is really my last question for you, but I noticed that when I'll say things to my friends, and they're not, you know, extremely political one way or the other, but I'll say, can you believe Dr. Fauci saying 2022? And people will say to me, well, he doesn't know. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. Nobody really knows. And I'm thinking to myself, well, nobody knew a year ago, but now we do know what's going to happen. There's a vaccine. So we kind of do know how this is going to play out if we're all using our rational logic.
That was the purpose of the vaccine. There's ultimately the only way these viral pandemics end is through herd immunity. When enough of the population has been infected or has been vaccinated so that the virus doesn't have hosts to jump to replicate. It's like putting out a fire. Once there's no more fuel for the fire goes out. And that's how you get there. It's through herd immunity, and it's either through vaccine or natural infections, one way or the other. There's no other way for it. And if you keep, quarantining and slowing the spread and all these things to mitigate it, you're just prolonging the inevitable. It's great we have a vaccine. We have two, and then a third vaccine that should be available within weeks, hopefully. And you can argue about the vaccines, and there are a lot of theories about good versus harm and all that. I'm not going to get into any of that, but you do have the vaccine now, and a lot of people have been affected. They're looking at antibody testing and other things to show that a significant chunk of the population has immunity to this. And then at that point, the virus goes away. But do the mandates go away? Or is it going to be one excuse after another? They have a new strain, you know, the South African strain, the Irish strain, the Scottish strain, whatever it is. And I thought we can't label strains or viruses based on location. Isn't that what we heard last spring, that calling it the China virus was racist to China somehow?
Yeah, but that was one of the big shifts when we entered Biden's America, where that doesn't apply anymore. Dr. Brian Juneff, thank you so much for being with us. I hope you'll join the show again soon. Everyone should check out his work at theamericanthinker.com, americanthinker.com. He has some really great pieces, and it's so refreshing to hear a medical person or a doctor speak in normal terms and really understand this thing and not try to create so much panic. I'm sick of all the experts creating panic. I always liked doctors because they would, you know, when they could, they would give you reassuring news. You know, they loved giving you good news. And the only doctors I see on CNN and MSNBC, they're fueling the flames here. Guys, if you haven't tried Superbeats Heart Chews, you're missing out big time. Superbeats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grape seed extract. I love Super Beats hard chews because I have bad circulation in my legs and it makes me feel a lot better. Everybody here takes them because they taste good. This is actually our only bag left. And last time I did a read for these, everyone started coming in here and realizing that I had a stash left on my desk here. So these might be gone by the end of the show. But the grape seed extract used in Super Beats heart chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere. They're pre-wrapped, so you don't have to, you know, mix anything like with the powder, and you can just throw them in your bag to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. I love them. I take them every day. Howie takes them every day. Jared takes them every day. And the number one question we get is, there's 2 questions. 1, do they really work? Yes. And 2 is, do they actually taste good? Also yes. So if you're wondering that, I can assure you they taste delicious. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats heart chews. Get your Super Beats chews today at getsuperbeats.com/grace. When you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in a 3rd for free. That's getsuperbeats.com/grace. I will be back with the rest of the callers. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable.
Yes, guys, it is the 41st anniversary of the Miracle on Ice when the U.S. Olympic team beat the Soviet Union on February 22nd. I love that sound cut. Every time I hear it, I go, oh, damn it, I'm going to watch Miracle again.
Al Michaels is great. He's been around forever, but he is still great.
The cut, guys, if you see it today on your Twitter or, you know, on YouTube, you look it up. It really is awesome to see all those guys run out in the ice.
Unrelated, Nancy Pelosi is sending subpoenas to the entire 1980 USA hockey team to find out what they know about Putin.
And when did they know it?
And when did they know it?
She's got to connect the dots, Jared. All roads lead to Putin. Arthur, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Arthur.
It really is awesome.
Arthur, oh, yeah, Arthur, you got to turn off your radio. So let's talk a little bit here about Fauci. I know we just did. I do want to play one more cut here. This is cut 4. Listen to Dr. Fauci.
They had some discussion about a policy that was a bad policy that did it while I was, they were saying I agreed to it. And I said, how could I agree to it? I was under general anesthesia at the time that you made that decision.
But things were so bad that that was widely thought that they made that announcement while you were literally out.
Yeah. Yeah. Strange, strange times. Strange times.
I don't say this often about a lot of people, but I really, really dislike Dr. Fauci. By the way, he was on Al Franken's podcast, right? He is the nonpartisan medical expert appearing on Al Franken's podcast. And Ben Shapiro. And then, guys, after this, we are moving on. In the next segment, I have Holly Robichaud. I got a lot more news to get to here. A little bit about Governor DeSantis and Cuomo. I had to spend an hour on Fauci, though. He's just driving me crazy lately. Ben Shapiro said Fauci should be fired. He has been down-talking the efficacy of vaccines at a time when we need precisely the opposite. He has been mirroring the administration's double talk on school reopenings. I gave Fauci the benefit of the doubt. I think everyone did for a full year. Maybe not Howie, but everyone else. But he is simply not an apolitical voice at this point. I'm not saying he's badly motivated. I kind of am at this point. All right, guys, we'll be back with Holly Robichaud on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.